What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Looking downfield, he's going to heave a bomb for Corey Davis at the goal line. Into the end zone. He's got it! That's a Jet touchdown!
Select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPa11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Disappointing loss, for the New York Jets. 27-22, the Atlanta Falcons. It's funny because the Jets have a impeccable way of, kind of humbling you a little bit when you get a little too excited. And, the positive vibes, even that Tennessee Titans game, are certainly gone. The Jets crazy overtime win. Zach Wilson looks awesome the second half. Big plays. Defense has 7 sacks, so on and so forth. And then Jets get to London. There's a lot of hype and excitement. The Jets are getting picked by the whole NFL Network pregame crew, and I pick them, and Joe picks them, and you're thinking, wow, this is pretty exciting. You get up at 9:30 a.m. for the game on a Sunday morning after, a little hair of the dog and the whole nine yards, and, disappointing loss. Is this a game-breaking loss for the season, and am I out on Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh? No. This is game 5. Rebuild is clearly going to be very up and down. This is what we're going to see, all year long. They're going to win some games that, are not expecting, like the Tennessee game. They're going to lose some games like the one they did today where, you really were hoping they were going to pull that one out. The Jets end up making it close. They lose 27-20, like I mentioned. I felt like they didn't really have a chance in this game in the first half. I felt like this game plan was off. I didn't defensively understand. I felt like they were being very, very, very cautious with the Falcons. And I felt like because of, yes, Kyle Pitts is awesome. And there's no doubt about that. And Cordell Patterson's a fantastic player who, by the way, was interesting. It looked like he got concussed very early in that game. And for some reason was able to come right back into the game. That's a whole nother story. But I felt like you had 2 guys that could beat you on that roster. And they let both of them beat them. And that's unacceptable from a defensive point of view. Look, the defense has been awesome, and it's really hard to blame them for pretty much anything that's gone on the first 5 weeks. They've been on the field far, far too much, especially early in games. I think C.J. Mosley played like 100 snaps against the Titans. And, their legs looked a little heavy defensively. They got some pressure, didn't get after the quarterback the way people were thinking they were going to be able to, myself included. I thought to be able to dominate the interior of the offensive line, Jalen Mayfield specifically, and I just didn't feel like they did that. Consistently, the run game felt like people were able to, gash him a little bit with Cordell Patterson. Even Mike Davis had his moments. And then opposite Matt Ryan just was really good. No other way to say it. I thought the Jets missed a few opportunities for interceptions, and that's understandable. It happens. Bryce Hall had a few that, had one that I thought, oh my God, pick 6, and it doesn't happen. So, like I said, defensively, the only biggest gripe is just, there was multiple times the Jets got beat for touchdowns with their best edge rushers in coverage on really athletic tight ends. So Kyle Pitts, one of the generational, probably the best tight end prospect ever. And I love John Franklin Myers. He could not have deserved that contract anymore. Awesome football player. He should not be in coverage against Kyle Pitts ever. It shouldn't happen. I don't care what the excuse is, really. I just think that's a mismanaged in a way to use your talent. And Bryce Huff is dropping in middle third zone coverage, in the red zone and having to cover Hayden Hurst. That doesn't make any sense. So that was super frustrating. I felt the defense, the two big plays at, the third downs to, potentially get the ball back to go in the game. The third and 12 is really frustrating. I don't understand why you need to be in such soft zone. They keep getting beat on these long, first and second down. They do a great job, and third down, they're getting beat, which is maybe a sign of a young team and a defense that's still developing. But that was a little frustrating. And then the third and two, you give up third and twos, it happens. But it was the fact that they're in soft zone coverage when it was clearly going to be a screen to Cordell Patterson. Everyone and their mother knew that. You see him split out wide with a guy not over the top of him, they're going to throw him the ball. Again, those are the things that are a little frustrating defensively, but you still.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables podcast with your host, Uncrustables. Okay, today's guest is rough around the edges. Please welcome Crust.
Thanks for having me.
Today's topic, he's round with soft pillowy bread.
Hey.
Filled with delicious PB&J.
Are you talking about yourself?
And you can take him anywhere.
Why'd you invite
him? And we are out of time.
Are you really cutting me off?
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, Crust.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some of these young corners looked good. And, Bryce Hall, again, another good performance. You're getting Quincy Williams had another forced fumble. He's been really good. Again, I apologize to Quincy. I botched that one. They're all around. You've seen Javon Guidry has, done well. So it's not all bad. The defense is not at all, again, to blame, for the first 5 weeks. They did not show up the way, they have the first 4 weeks. This is more of what we kind of thought, I guess, we're getting going into the season from the defensive. They should be holding them to 27 points, basically 20 until the last 2 minutes. Should be good enough to beat this Falcons team that was 32nd ranked in all defense, and we'll get to that in a second. But, the defense, they look gassed. And, the game plan wasn't great. I didn't get it. I felt like you didn't take advantage of a good matchup for the Jets. But Matt Ryan's a veteran quarterback. He gets disrespected. I tweeted all week. I'm like, I don't understand why this is the Matt Ryan slander. The guy throws for 4,530 touchdowns every single year, plays all 16 games. So yeah, defense, not great today. But again, they're not at all to blame through the first 5 weeks. They have been on the field far too much, especially early in games. And they just look gassed, and that's what happens. The offensive side of the ball has got to help them out. They finally created a couple turnovers. That was a good job from them. I think they forced three fumbles or covered two, if I'm not mistaken. I felt like, they were doing everything they could to try to keep the Jets in the ballgame. Again, did they get the stop to the end and that's what everyone's going to focus on? No. And that's super frustrating. But I don't think they had some atrocious day. And the Jets should have never had a chance because the defense, I don't believe that. They didn't have a good first half. The game plan wasn't great in the first half, but this game is going to be fall more on the shoulders of number two and some of that staff just didn't fully kind of have that game plan. So what happens, young team, And, you know, see what they have week 7 in New England. And it's a matchup they played pretty well last time. They'll get Marcus May and Jared Davis back. So, look, this team, the defense should continue to get better. These young corners will continue to get better. I think you'll see there'll be, the Jets will have better games, you know, defensive line-wise than they did on Sunday. But the defense as a whole has been really impressive. CJ Mosley punched the ball out. What else is new? The guy's damn stud. Probably the best player on this roster right now. So, you know, we'll get into the offense. You know, we'll get into the offensive line, you know, here in a bit. But, you know, this defense, that defense had me heavy making me want to drink a little bit. And, you know, that's why, you know, I'm a big proponent of Tap Room. Tired of carrying your drinks from the store to your apartment? Try Tap Room. They deliver your favorite beer, seltzers, kombucha, you know, all that right to your door. Badlands listeners, TOJ listeners, you can get $50 off their first $100 purchase with code JETS50. So order your first round at pa.taproom.com. Skip the lines. Let Tap Room deliver right to your door. If you go to Tap Room, you save $50 off your first order with code JETS50. So I'm certainly going to be making a purchase. Who doesn't want $100 worth of beer for $50? It'll get you through the bye week and you tune up Red Zone on Sunday. So again, make sure you use code JETS50, you know, at taprm.com and, you know, and reward yourself with $50 of free beer. Now let's get to the all exciting offensive side of the ball, which is much maligned. And in terms of, you know, the little mini rant of the day, I cannot believe how impatient, you know, people are when it comes to rookie quarterbacks and young head coaches. People are ready to throw Zach Wilson out. He's a bust. He sucks. He's the worst. I mean, it's been 5 games. I don't understand. You know, it used to be year 3, year 4, year 5 when you're making decisions on whether quarterbacks have it or don't. And Zach Wilson last week, 297 yards, NFL Rookie of the Week, 4 big-time throws, according to PFF. And you know, he was awesome. And now the next week he plays terrible. And, you know, not even terrible. He was bad, you know, yesterday, but oh, now he sucks. Move on, get, you know, draft a quarterback in 2022. First of all, this quarterback class sucks. So I'm not sure where, you know, why we're doing that. And second of all, why were you moving off the guy you just took a number 2 pick with? I don't understand. Like, I just don't get it. Relax, take a deep breath. We all knew there was in the up and down games. The kid's coming from BYU. He's 22 years old. It's his first nationally televised game in another country. Did not play well. Did he not look good? And was it frustrating, you know, bouncing a bubble screen at Jameson Crowder and throwing the screen pass off Morgan Moses' head? And the interception was bad. And, you know, there's a couple other throws he misses. Yeah, of course. Like that, it's super frustrating. There's also the elite arm talent, which you saw again. The seed he threw over the middle of Denzel Mims, the deep play action post to Elijah Moore that draws a 50-yard pass interference. There's a few other throws in there that are really, really special. And he shows it every week. He's going to get better. I don't understand this need to jump down his throat and say, he sucks. He's terrible. He's a bust. Stop. If you're doing that, watch another sport. It's enough. It's so nauseating to listen to Saleh. It's not going to get fired. He can not win another game this year. He's not getting fired. Zach Wilson has 35 more picks. They're not drafting another quarterback. So if that's what you're going to do every week and you want to prove your point, I'm sorry. Like, this is the wrong team to root for. This is the wrong situation for you, and you have to move on. So on saying all that, I was frustrated with the way Zach played on Sunday. I felt like this was a really good opportunity for him to break out. I picked the Jets to win by almost 2 touchdowns. I thought this was a game where he could really flash from that arm talent, get him outside the pocket. And the Falcons, to their credit, contained Zach, didn't let him get outside the pocket, sat in a cover 2 shell and said, you're not going to beat us deep. They beat us with tight ends and beat us with the running game. And, you know, Michael Carter had a nice game. I mean, the Jets don't run the ball well right now at all. And, you know, he was fine. Look, he still averaged, he had 10 carries for 38 yards. He actually looked pretty good. You know, Ty Johnson, 4 carries, Tevin Coleman, 3. So kind of, you know, the breakdown I've been hoping for in terms of Carter, then Johnson, then Coleman. You know, from a target perspective, for, you know, Corey Davis, 4 catches, Cole and Mims, both 2, Crowder, 4, Ty Johnson, Michael Carter, 2 and 3, Berrios, 1, Griffin, 1, nothing for Elijah Moore. He had the one on the sideline, obviously, that got called back, and nothing. Tevin Coleman had the one screen that was set up that, you know, did not work. So the offense is frustrating right now. They cannot get anything going. Their scripted stuff just is not working. It's interesting. You really look at, like, the Jets, overall in the last 2 years has been, okay, the first quarter will go well. Those first 15, 20 scripted plays are going to look really good. The Jets are going to march down the field, either get a field goal or a touchdown, usually a field goal, and then that's it for the rest of the game. And this team is like, the first quarter, they can't do anything. Midway through the second quarter, it like clicks, but they're already down by double digits. And then all of a sudden they look really good offensively the rest of the game. And you're like, what, you know, kind of what's going on here? A lot to unpack, I guess, in that sense. But it starts with up front. I guess we'll get to some positives. The offensive line, I thought, was really good in pass pro. What did they look fantastic? And, you know, a lot of two sacks, but, you know, some of those can be on Dak. I have to watch the tape on that one. But, you know, I thought the offensive line looked a lot better. Elijah Tucker, highest graded, you know, 92.4 grade on according to PFF. He's the fifth highest rated guard in football the last couple of weeks, not just rookies. So he looks really good, and that pick looking is paying dividends. Michael Carter, again, I thought was impressive offensively. You know, he's just shifty, breaks tackles. I think he had one screen pass. If he cuts it outside instead of bouncing it back inside, he's got 30, 40 more yards to run. Obviously, it was nice, you know, no score, no touchdown, continues to, you know, kind of develop there. Jameson Crowder, steady, hit the one drop early in the game, which was frustrating. I felt like the Jets cannot, you know, make any mistakes early in the game or else they get totally out of rhythm. But, you know, Jameson Crowder continues to be, you know, reliable. He has that screen pass. He probably scores if Zach doesn't bounce it under the turf from 3 yards away, which clearly he's guiding the ball, forcing it, kind of getting too amped up. So we'll get, you know, Denzel Mims. Hey, looks, he got more reps this week. He looked good and continues to, you know, that's back-to-back weeks. He's, you know, been incorporated offensively, you know, got better this week. I thought he was better this week than he was last week. Got some targets, had a nice play. The Jets need to find a way to get him involved in the offense. They need to find a way to make sure Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims are involved. Whether that's, you know, going more 11 and 10 personnel, or it's moving guys around and putting one guy in a slot, one guy outside, some guy in motion, and not having guys stick in their places. It's gotta happen. Elijah Moore has not yet broken out. I think that game's coming. Like, he has the deep play action post interference. Otherwise, it potentially is a touchdown. Has a really nice catch on the sideline. Really nice throw from Zach. But you know, there's a false start or illegal formation, so doesn't count regardless. I'd like to see Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims play over Keelan Cole. I think Keelan Cole is nice. I think he's a really good wide receiver four. Don't think he's better than either of those two guys. You know, Brax has his role, a lot of screens, a lot of, you know, motions and things like that, that nature, as well as special teams. So I'd like to see the Jets do more Davis, Crowder, and Moore or Mims pretty consistently. Those four at the top, but, you know, we'll see what happens there by week. Again, and just to finish off on Zach, it's just frustrating right now. He's missing layups. He's missing easy throws, and all Jets Twitter likes to say, oh, get Zach easy throws. I mean, they're trying to get Zach easy throws. He's not completing them. He's, you know, 19 of 32, 192 yards and an interception. Not terrible, just nothing. Just a very blah game. And it's because of the defense they're playing. It's because he felt like this game was the game he could kind of really break out. And did not. So he's going to have to get better. He's going to have to continue to work during the bye week to cut out some of these mistakes. Because when he throws the ball down the field, or he throws the ball over the middle, and he has to put some zip on it, he looks great. And it looks like he cannot miss. When he has to kind of finesse it in, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards away, or screen pass or things, he looks like he's rushing and pressing, kind of like trying to force the ball in there and guide it, which is concerning. But at the same time, I think it's just a young quarterback being a young quarterback. So all that said, disappointing, you know, effort from the offense. And LaFleur's got to – I don't think this game is on him. I don't think he was amazing this game, or he's been amazing a lot of the games. But, you know, this is a training wheels offense right now until Zach proves otherwise. And that's what's frustrating, is you want him to open up the playbook, because the playbook looks to be better when Zach can take shots and, you know, they get explosive and all these types of things. But a lot of the stuff's come from off schedule. I think the Jets would be better in doing a lot more shotgun stuff and going away from the two tight end stuff. I know this offense looks better with two tight ends. The problem is the Jets personnel right now is not capable of doing that. They don't block well in it. They don't pass well in it. So some tempo, some no huddle, some shotgun stuff would definitely benefit Zach and this offense, I believe. So between getting Mims and more involved and just kind of speeding the offense up and not going too much under center traditional style, I think would definitely help. Again, the Jets offense has got to start faster. They have to. They cannot continue to. I mean, they have like 75 total yards in the first quarter this year. They're 75 to 13 in the first half, and then they've won the second half, so that, you know, total throughout the first five games. So, all that said, Jets going into the bye week. They get Davis and May back. Becton's, you know, on his way back. Chance to regroup, young team. The defense can get those, you know, rest up, get those legs right. And then, you know, kind of go from there. They could be in New England, and it's a chance for Zach to kind of redeem himself. Either way, need him to throw five touchdowns, that'd be great, but it's not going to happen. I'd love, you know, for him just to play a clean game, you know, look like he learned a lot from that first, you know, first matchup, and how the Jets coaching staff develops. And, you know, the Patriots gave, you know, 22 points to Davis Mills, and he was ripping them apart. So, you know, I'm not asking the Jets to go out there and score 30, but I'd like to see them be competent, be in this game, and give themselves a shot. Lots more exciting stuff coming up on the feed. Bye week will be fun. I got an article coming out tomorrow, kind of Jets by the numbers, and then, you know, pod Friday, and then, you know, normal schedule. So make sure to stay tuned in, and, you know, have a great week, everybody.